All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town?
Ah, forget you, man.
That's it, Nick. Right now, go get Charlie. We need the closer. Get him in here right now.
Forget you, man.
He's out. That's the way it goes.
I'm doing my best Ken Giles right now. I'm going to punch myself in the face.
Actually, Nick should just beep you, and you should just let it fly.
Dude, what up, H-Town?
Don't like that idea.
No.
Sorry. So it is The Usual Suspects, and we have baseball on our mind, amongst other things. Obviously, as a lot of you do, unless you participate in the bench, who spent 3 hours talking about Rockets basketball and Clint Capela this morning.
They really?
They spent a lot of time on it. But they had a lot of fans, Manny Fresh and others, that were very passionate about two topics, Daryl Morey, Clint Capela.
Oh.
On different fronts. But we are just getting started. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We're in studio, so ready to go for the next 3 hours. And if there's things you guys want to talk about, Astros, Rockets, otherwise, hey, more power to you. We're game. Let's play. So I guess we started with the baseball, but obviously...
Let's start with the rundown. Nick, what are you doing with the names?
Why did you see this? Yeah.
What is your problem?
He's still doing it right now.
Yeah. Get out of there. Why did you spell Barry with an E? Jerk.
And not capitalized.
And then he's got blank stares. That was originally going to be the name of this show. What are you doing?
Never was it going to be the name of this
show. And totally was. That was my vote.
Well, that was your suggestion.
Yeah.
No, it never was.
Joel's suggestion.
No. Yeah, it was Barry's suggestion.
Right.
Of course. Why are you messing with our names in the rundown?
I don't know.
Why are you being childish?
It just came to my mind.
It came to your mind, like the battle that I had with all the Star Wars dorks on Twitter.
No,
now you're doing it.
Someone at the Starbucks said, why are you giving me this blank stare? I couldn't help myself but to put it on the rundown.
Now, if you want more, there's blank check, fill in the blank, drawing a blank. I've got plenty for you. Gross point blank, blank man, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But nonetheless, they're funny. They're catchy.
Well.
Strawberry.
I like Barry with an E for sure.
Strawberry, Barry with an E, B-E-R-Y, was the dumbest one I've ever seen. Shout out to McDonald's.
Barry's not funny?
Yeah, Barry is not funny. That happened again. Because AJ came to the show last night, which was a train wreck.
Oh, that's right. You had a show last night.
Oh, my God. It was the first time in 5 or 6 years that I almost just left and didn't do the show.
What?
Yeah, it was a train wreck.
Why?
To begin with. So it's at a bar. It's Jive Bar and Lounge, which is a great bar. I love the bar. I love the people that work there. They're super awesome. If you're in that area on Luetta, you should definitely go there. And according to AJ, which I wouldn't know, but according to AJ, they have a great beer list. They have a great tap list, I guess it's called, whatever. I don't know. But so I'm there, and the host is doing his thing. He's a little drunk, and that's okay. That's happened before. But then some chick comes in, some attention whore, and she sits right in front of the stage, which is not really a stage. It's just a place with a mic stand. But she's sitting there. The bar is not far from it. And so it's less than 10 feet from the stage to the bar. And she sits down and just starts screaming at him. She's like, why don't you make fun of me? Use us. We're going to sit here so you can use us and we'll make the show better. And he's like, look, just be quiet. She's like, oh, be quiet. Now, I should point out, I forgot to point out that the host is a little person. So that's important to the story because it devolves pretty quickly. Where she's like, you can use us for the show. He's like, why don't you just shut up? And then she's like, oh, look, why don't you say something funny? And now the whole bar is starting to just, there's this crescendo of noise. It's just getting louder. And people are screaming at each other. And they're screaming at the host. And the host is now, you stupid bitch, why don't you? And I'm like, oh, my God. And she's like, you're just mad because you're not tall. And she starts making person jokes.
Oh, no.
And he's talking about having sex with her mom. And she's got this tank top on, that is real loose. Like, and she is blessed. She is hashtag blessed. Like, but she's
no
well,
undergarment.
She's well endowed. All right.
Any undergarments?
No undergarments. Side boob just falling out. Just like lot of side boob. Lots and lots
why
of side boob.
Show?
So she's screaming, and then she starts freaking out because she's like, "Oh my god, you're not funny!" And she's jumping up and down. Booby falls out.
No,
T-top right there. And AJ you're goes, lying. "AJ came." So AJ goes, "Oh my god, her T-top fell out." I was like, "Yeah, she almost stepped on it. It was pretty bad." So they're screaming at each other, and I looked at AJ and his wife. I was like, "Look, I fair warning. I texted them because I can tell when a show is going to go well or not. Uh-huh. Like, because based on the crowd, especially at a bar scene, right? So I texted them. I was like, "Look, there's like four people here. You can skip it. Just go home, and I'll get you guys some tickets to my show at the Joke Joint in July. It'll be a lot more fun. But tonight may not be so good. I will say it turned out to be a really good show at the end. But this is going on, and they're screaming. And I'm not talking about just a little verbal altercation. I'm talking about he's screaming at the top of his lungs into the mic. She's screaming at the top of her lungs. T-tops
so
are falling
does
out.
Does this put the whole progress of the show on hold?
This is the show right now. Okay. We're in the middle of the show. The show has started, and he spends 20 minutes with this chick, and they're yelling. Other people are yelling. And I finally go, "Hey, why don't you shut the bleep up to the lady?" And she's like, "Why don't you shut up?" I was like, "Ooh, I can't wait to give me that microphone. Please give me that microphone." So, and then I looked at AJ and his wife. I was like, "Look, I'm not doing this. I'm about to leave. I'm a professional. I'm not a diva per se. I've done some crazy shows, but I'm not going to sit here in this chaos and try to do my job." So Spike Miller, who's a comic that was on the show feature for me, was like, "I got this, dude. I got this." So he just lights the guy. And when you get the light in comedy, that means you got like 5 minutes or 3 minutes. Yep. Like, wrap it up. That's yep. It's kind of like when Nick.
Warning shot.
Yeah, it's like when Nick counts down our ear. You got 1 minute. You got 30 mm-hmm. seconds. So it's kind of that same. That's in comedy what it is. So Spike Miller lights him, and he gets off stage. And Spike is awesome because he's like, "Look, I'm the captain now." And he's like, I'm the host. I'm going to be taking it from here. And he gets everybody to come down. He's like, "Look, man, why don't you just go outside if you don't want to see the show?" And she leaves. And Spike kind of resets the room and everything calms down. And I was like, "Okay, maybe we can do a show now." And we did. And we had a good show. And it was a little rowdy, but you get that at a bar.
She never came back?
Well, her friend walked by at one point and screamed something at me while I was on stage. And I was like, "What did you say?" And usually that's like rule number one. You never ask a heckler to repeat themselves. That's the worst thing you can do. But I was like, I was already gone. I was like, it doesn't matter. I was having a good time and everything was kind of chilled out. And she's like, "I was just trying to support you." I was like, "Well, you need to put on a bra and support them." And so then she kept walking. But it got to a point where it was rowdy, but at a level that wasn't horrible for like my last set. And I did like right at 30 minutes. But it started off as one of the worst things I've ever seen in comedy at a show.
I wish I was there. I mean, I would have been live tweeting. Her Tata would have been on Twitter.
Dude.
No doubt.
It was not pretty. It was not a pretty Tata. You did not want to see her Tita. It fell out and it took like 2 minutes to fall.
But that's gonna be like
it was like I don't know. It was like, you ever seen a car chase on a cliff and then the car goes off and there's that extended fall? Yeah. That was what her T-top did when it fell out the side of the tank top, not the top of the tank top. It came out the side. It was bad, and she was not hot. Not hot. It would be different if she was hot. Not hot. Not at all. So that was weird, and AJ's wife was just like, "Oh my god, what is going on right now?" I was like, "I tried to tell y'all don't come," because I texted him. I was like, "Hey, just skip it. It's gonna be a weird night. I can tell. There's like four people here," but we ended up getting like 20 something people. Some listeners came out,
cool,
that had heard AJ talking about it and me talking about it. They were like, "Well, let's go watch." So it ended up being all right. But boy,
is that like when you were a kid and you loved your games for Little League, and you can't wait for your game because you're fired up, and then it rains, and you're like, "Ugh." I mean, like, you got a show, and obviously, no matter what your show is, no matter what you do, you got to be fired up for your shows. And then you can see it kind of unfolding before you, like this storm cloud going, before I even get up there, this is going to be a mess.
It wasn't disappointing. It was infuriating because I know this sounds like it's whatever. I don't care what people think, but I take it serious. Even at a bar show, I'm a professional sure. stand-up comedian who gets paid to do a job, just like an accountant or at what we do here on radio. We joke around a lot. But we all put a lot into this craft, and we put in a lot into what we do here. It may not seem that way, but that's part of what we do, is to make it seem effortless and like we're just messing around. The same thing is true in stand-up comedy. I don't care if it's a bar gig for 100 people or if it's a show with 300 people at the Improv or if it's two people at a hole in the wall. I take it serious, and I do my job. I try to be very professional. It was one of the weirdest, most unprofessional things I've ever seen. And I was like, there's no way I'm doing my job in an environment like that. But Spike Miller is the MVP of the night. He got everything calmed down. He got everything settled out. And it ended up well. All's well that ends well. But well, boy, AJ was just looking at me like, this is your life? That's what he told me. He goes, this is your life? I was like, yeah. This is the life of us. Everybody sees like the YouTube videos, or they see, you know, they come to a show where there's 400 people and everything
Super
goes great.
Super Bowl deal.
Yeah, you don't see those nights, those off nights at a bar. And those happen more often than not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, at least, like you said, at least it ended well. And we are just getting started, speaking of things that are getting going. And so we're not going to have hecklers. Well, we might. But at the same time, OU Mike is lovable. We'll continue to roll on. And if you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. Call that line. Or you can text that line. Or you can reach us via Twitter, where it's at Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. It's a way back Wednesday. I'm the only one that submitted a list, so I win.
Far.
But it is songs we would play at our funeral pre-2008.
Yes. And your first song is one that I wanted.
It's inevitable that my list is going first. There was no escaping. That's right.
After the show, AJ and his wife and I sat there until 1 in the morning drinking and talking. So there was no... I got up at 11:20 today. There was no way you were getting anything out of me.
What were you saying about how we appreciate our craft and all that preparation?
When we don't go to bed at 2:30 in the morning, okay. We do.
All right.
Yeah. Look, I can get one day, right?
Plus, okay. You went home and played God of War for a couple
of
hours.
No, I did not. Dude, I went straight to bed. Straight to sleep.
Obviously, because you didn't get up to 11:20.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. Back with a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. It's The Usual Suspects. Just getting started on a Way Back Wednesday. Pre-2008 songs you'd play at your funeral. Nick and Barry's list, I'm sure it'll be posted by 1:55. One of them, at least.
Mine will be 2:55.
Oh.
I knew he was going to say that. So, hey, man, you got
so
the second hour, right?
So I guess it's just determined you're going second, Nick.
We
you got
voted.
The second hour,
we
right,
voted
Nick?
In my head. You're second, Nick. All in favor.
I'm down. I can go second. That's cool.
Barry just put on the rundown. Suck My Nick goes second.
Oh, wow.
Not nice. I've got four songs, though.
Oh, he's rolling.
Should I pre-submit it, though? That way I can get, like, called dibs? That way you don't steal any
actually,
of my songs?
Whoever officially submits their list via email the way we normally play it is technically official, right? Oh, you're not going to agree with that because you're coming from behind. Mm. So you're not.
No,
yeah, you're not.
I don't like that rule.
Yeah, you're not going with that one.
I do not like that rule at all. The other thing about last night, well, first, so AJ's tweeting out, like, sorry, Barry, sorry, this is your comedy life, and I'm saying this, so everybody's like, did he bomb, did he bomb? I was like, okay, everybody settle down, you know how AJ is, of course, and then AJ is heckling me, which, it was funny, because I kind of deserved it, because there were a few people there, and so I pointed out the fact, I was like, guys, I just want to, and this is on the mic when everybody's there. I was just saying, I want to point out the fact that we have a celebrity in the crowd. The world famous AJ Hoffman is here. And people started like clapping. And he got so mad because, as you know, Joel and Nick, when you're somewhere, you kind of don't want people to be pointing out who you are as a public figure. It makes it weird. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, it's AJ Hoffman, the number one rated show. Oh, so I kind of deserved it because I was doing a joke. And then he just started, I did this joke about deaf people. And he started heckling me about it. And I was like, bro, you can't. And this is on the mind. I'm like, why are you heckling me? You're the only people that came to see me and you're heckling me. Shut up. And then he's taking pictures and he's tweeting about, oh, sorry, Barry. So you win some, you lose some or something like that. So it was just a mess. And then people on Twitter are like, what happened? Did he bomb? So that was fun. But we were watching the game. They had the game on. And I got to tell you, I tweeted out, I really want to call in sick. Screw you, Ken Giles. I'm done with you. I'm not defending you anymore. I'm breaking up with Ken Giles. This is official. I'm officially breaking up with Ken Giles. He can bleep him, man. Not AJ. Don't bleep AJ Hinch, Ken Giles. Bleep you, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You and I were talking about it in the break. I mean, I'm sitting there watching a game last night where the Astros were dominating for the majority of the game, had a 4-run lead. I got to put Taylor to bed, so I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to leave the TV on, but it's over. I figure it's over.
Right.
I get Taylor to bed. I come out. The TV's on. I'm like, that's not the postgame show.
Yeah.
And I look at the score, and I go, what the hell just happened? Then I rewind it, and I go, oh, my God. Kenny G just blew his horn right in the face of every Astros fan in the city. And then when his parting shot is an F-bomb at his manager, I'm like, oh, he's done.
Yeah.
I was like, ironically, this is everything we talked about today on the show just came to fruition right in front of our eyes with both Rondon and Ken Giles on the trust level and everything else. And I'm going, oh, this is one that's going to be real fun to see how it plays out, because we talk about how tight this locker room is. We talk about how together and all for one attitude that these guys have. But after you already gave him a pass in last year's playoffs, and yet he still celebrated with zero F's given on a tank top for the world to see after he had lost his starters gig, I mean his closer gig, he comes back and everybody knows he has been less than stellar, but it's his own fault that he was given up laser shots and Hinch didn't want to take any chances, and yet he F-U's his manager.
Yeah, and you just can't do that. And AJ Hinch said, because somebody asked him about it.
Nick, you got the quote? We got the audio AJ from Hinch. It? I think instead of reading it, we actually have it from Hinch postgame.
You know, I did hear about it. I heard him. He was pretty mad in the dugout. I don't know, man. That stuff happens in the heat of battle. I'll have to look at it. You know, he can let me know if it was directed at me. I didn't hear anything. And you can certainly understand that I'll address it if it turns out it was at me. Then we'll talk about it.
Who else is it going to beat to? Patrick Randall had a good point on Twitter where he's like, Giles will probably say he was talking to the crowd or himself, which is what you're going to have to do at this point.
Charlie had Tony Kemp on, and Tony Kemp was trying to cover too, saying, hey, he was in the dugout after that play, though, cheering on Rondon and doing all these things. Well, I don't know if the cameras caught that or not, but the cameras, clear as day, caught him saying, man, F you, as he handed the ball to A.J. Hinch. And I responded to P. Randizzle. We were having a good discussion about all this, and I was like, A.J. has to grab the bull by the horns and address this, like, immediately when Giles gets to the park or before the team gets to the park, however he wants to do it. But for a team that's been so supportive and forgiving of this guy, he continues to act like an ass clown. And this is one of those deals where because it's such a together locker room, you just can't have that one wild card doing those kind of things the way he did it. I honestly don't think by the All-Star break he'll be on the Astros anymore.
I think, well, it depends. Is he out of options? I know he doesn't have the 5 years of service time. I believe he's at 3 years, so he might still have some options. And I think that Ken Giles has the arm where if you can get him right, if you can fix him. I mean, look what, you know, Brad Lidge was broken in Houston. He goes to, where'd he go? Philly?
St. Louis, right?
Was it St. Louis? No, he went to...
That, oh, he was with the Phillies. Yeah, he was with the Phillies. Yeah.
And he had a perfect year. He didn't blow a save all year, won a world title. So, I mean, guys can be fixed, but just maybe it's one of those things where he's going to have a change of scenery. He's going to have to be moved as part of a package or, you know, somebody that needs some depth in the bullpen or whatever. But I would even explore if he's not out of options
not a bad idea.
And he could be sent down for a while. You know what? Go play some minor league ball. Go... go get your head right and see how you enjoy traveling on a bus and all that stuff after living the good life up in the majors. Because if you can send Jake Marisnik down for all the defensive wizardry that he's displayed this year, you can certainly send Ken Giles down to try to get right. And don't give me – I don't want to hear about Ken Giles has a mosquito bite and he's going to hit the 10-day DL. Just send his ass down. I mean, I've been a proponent of Ken Giles, but again, it was one of those things. The previous nine games, he had given up two runs in two different games over nine, and then he has another blow-up inning. Fortunately, they still won the game, but you can't continue to do this. It's at the point where – and then it's even worse. It's exacerbated when he calls out his manager like that. That's where you say, you know what? Nah.
Yeah, there's no individual bigger than the team. That's exactly the biggest thing. I mean, if Verlander can fall into play with all of that, and he is a big, big name that has been there, done that, and everybody else with a star next to their name, regardless if it's all-stars or experience or everything else, that's why this team is so special, because they're together. And they have supported him over and over again. And everybody has been patient. And everybody we talked about yesterday with the lack of trust or thereof and the numbers. You know, his ERA, his ERA, three earned runs, doesn't even get an out in the inning. So it's up to 499. But, we know, we've talked about it can go back and forth. But it's none of his fastballs touched 98. He only generated one swing and miss. And in 86 plate appearances during non-save situations, he's allowed 17 earned runs and 29 hits. And that goes back to yesterday's discussion about he has a hot, you know, like you said, a live arm.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no depth on that fastball. There's not a lot of movement. And the point I made yesterday, I really believe, look, if he develops a changeup and or a better, and he really polishes the slider, and at least he has a couple other options, he can be a really above average pitcher. But it also comes down to what's between his ears. And obviously between punching himself in the face and F you and your manager, whether it's maturity or otherwise, there's some stuff going on between his ears they got to get right too.
Yeah, I think the saving grace, though, is this team rallied and was able to still get a win. So good for them. And, I mean, I didn't get to see the play because when we turned the TVs off to start the show, it was 4-4. And so even watching that was just like, man, that's when I tweeted out, I just do not want to go to work tomorrow and hear about Ken Giles. But fortunately, they got the win. So that's the positive.
And even giving up the lead in the 11th with a Piscotty home run. So the dude that's been killing the Strohs comes back, looks like he's going to do it two nights in a row. And then they put together the rally that gets it all done. And again, we talk about the overall perseverance of this team. But Reddick, just a great at bat, gets him all the way to a full count, draws the walk. You know, Springer gets into it. Everybody that every late innings, they've been doing some great things this year, and that's what you don't want to mess up with chemistry issues if this Giles thing lingers. So they got to nip it in the butt right away.
Yeah.
All right, we'll continue to roll on. Eric, we see you. You got a different topic. You want to change gears a little bit, talk LeSean McCoy. If you guys want to get on the show one way or the other, 713-780-3776. That gets you in via text or phone call. And of course, there's Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Each careful step.
Bum, 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 bum. Now tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to run. When judgment comes for you,
when judgment comes for you.
Tell me what you're gonna do, but it ain't nowhere to hide.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back! Steve, come back! You were there on the phone and you want to talk about what we were talking about with the Astros? And you disappeared. So, Steve, come on back. Eric, we see you. We're going to get to you. It's Barry. It's Nick. It's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate you along for the ride. So, fasten your seatbelts. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. So, you missed the game.
I did.
At least what turned out to be the most important parts when it looked like Bregman's two home runs and another really good.
How hot is he?
He's smoking on fire, right?
Yeah. It's crazy when you look at the numbers he's putting up and the tear that he's on.
I like the fact that the kid obviously.
So cocky though.
Yeah, he's cocky and feisty, but I like this thing that he's developing now after a home run, after he gets through the high fives and the hug from Tony Kemp. He does the death stare at the camera at the end of the dugout. Because it's a thing now.
That's to AJ. That's all that is. Because AJ and him got into it.
It's just hilarious the way he looks for the camera and does the stare. But I mean, the thing that's great is for all the cockiness and all the other things, at least in the interviews from On Field with Julia to the post game, he's become more humble about the fact that.
Has he?
Yeah. Every quote last night after the game was about, yeah, I just, you know, everybody said, well, you had the same amount of home runs as you had last year. And look, you're not even to the All-Star break. And he goes, I was just really bad last year. And I'm really trying to get better. And I'm trying to do things. And I had a bad month here. And I did this there. And I'm like, hopefully someone got in his ear or for whatever the reason is. But that's a good thing, too, to show a little humility.
Well, you've got guys on this team that you don't want to change a guy and the way he is, but you've got some leaders, some quality leaders on this team now with Correa and not that Correa is leaps and bounds ahead of Alex Bregman on, you know, service time in the majors, but leadership wise and star power wise, he is, and Altuve, and believe it or not, Marwin Gonzalez. And I mean, I don't know if you noticed this, Nick, but last year when I had a credential,
notated.
Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure no one's going to games anymore that got credentials. No one's sure going.
I've gone to four and haven't gone since.
See? And no one goes. But
I will go, though.
Blah, blah, blah.
You went to three games one season and you're
The good news is someone that doesn't even work on the station has a credential, but they go, so that's cool.
I went to like four, not three. No, but like in the locker room, you could really see Altuve's locker was next to Marvin Gonzalez. I don't know how it is this year, but there was this kind of camaraderie between Marwin and Altuve, and there was, you could, I got the sense, and this is just a personal observation, but Altuve was struggling last year at some point or something had happened, and you could almost feel and sense that Marwin was kind of helping him deal with the media and how to, and coaching him on how to deal with some of those things. And then, you know, Beltran was kind of at the corner when they, when you walked to the showers, but that was the, like, you had to pass Beltran to get to the showers, to get back from the showers, which I think was also intentional in teaching these guys. So maybe all of that leadership and those guys learning those things has really rubbed off on Alex Bregman.
He was checking to make sure everybody had soap?
No.
Oh.
I think it was just one of those things where he could be like, hey, let me give you two
other names, because it doesn't have to be like a legendary career like Beltran either, or like the great.
It helps, though.
It does, right? But the two other names, especially this year, Gattis. Because he's been through trials and tribulations personally and professionally, and he's seen how it all goes down. And then the biggest one to me is Brian McCann. Brian McCann is a guy, because he has the creds too, at All-Stars and, you know, the things he's done in his career. Mm-hmm. But he's able to, he seems like he has just such a laid-back demeanor in the way he gets to the young guys, whether it be the pitching staff and manages them, or the young guys on the bench when you see them between at-bats, or, you know, during an inning when guys aren't at the plate, where he can just give you just those little tips that Beltran used to do, where they've continued that on. So that's what I'm saying. The chemistry, so we hear it from Blummer, we've talked to him about it, we hear it from the other guys, and even Bregman says, look, when you go to work every day with your best friends, it makes it more fun and entertaining. You hear all of that, and that's why you say, this is one of those deals. God, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's an allergy or cold. I can't kick this thing.
I don't know what the hell you're doing. It sounds like you're over there laughing. No, like in the middle of nowhere.
They just come out of nowhere. Like, I just get this like cough feeling out of nowhere.
Right? It's like, he's like, anyway, so Alex.
I feel like.
And then like, what happened
I feel like Lance Erlein for a second. All of a sudden, the middle is just going to go out on me.
Let's take Eric's call. You can get a drink of water. You want to do that? Did you finish your point?
No, I was just saying. No, that's the beauty of this. That's why you have to nip this Giles thing in the butt now. You've given him a pass on the last one.
Is it butt or bud? I think it's nip it in the bud.
Well, I want them to kick him in the butt. That's what he needs.
There you go.
He needs a flat-out kick in his ass.
Yeah, he definitely does. Like, you can't. Like, again, this team is going too well to have something like that create a distraction.
Instead of zero Fs given, it's time to give a F, because this whole rest of his team does, and they're tired of this whole act.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, Eric wants to switch gears a little bit. Steve left us. He wanted to talk Astros. So, Eric, you want to talk LeSean McCoy, a topic we brought up the other day. What's up, man?
Hi, yes, sir. Yeah, we're listening here to you at the VA hospital. Great show, guys. The report's saying that LeSean McCoy is connected somehow to the person that broke into his house and attacked his ex-girlfriend. And one other thing, how do y'all feel about the Cowboys giving up a third-round pick for Earl Thomas, even though he's going to be a free agent next year? I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Eric.
What was the second part?
About Earl
Cowboys
Thomas
giving up some pick.
Cowboys give up a third round pick for Earl Thomas. I mean, that's easy for me.
Yeah,
real quick.
I would do
anyone
it.
That only has to give up a third round pick to get a guy of that caliber, do it and do it now.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas is that good.
I would. If you can get Earl Thomas on your team, your defense got better. As far as LeSean McCoy goes, be careful because, again, I don't know if what Eric said is true or not. I know that there's people that are speculating, but you brought up yesterday Reuben Foster, and that's the thing I think that everybody points to now when you see something like this is be careful because you don't know how this and again, I don't want to make excuses. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here.
Absolutely.
You don't know how she lived her life. You don't know the circles that she ran in. You don't know the other people that she was associated with. And you don't know the guys that maybe are secondary in his life. And they said, the report I heard was, there were specific pieces of jewelry that were taken that he gave her. So everyone
that the intruder asked for.
Yeah, and the thing is people immediately assume, and I can see why it's human nature to be like, so he sent the intruder and he paid him to go get that jewelry back, which could be true. But it could also be that one of his crew or former crew knew that that stuff existed and went after it. So you can't just immediately assume that because this guy went in and asked for specific pieces of jewelry that LeSean McCoy is somehow connected. I get it. The writing's on the wall, and that's an easy assumption to jump to. But we really have to be careful about just immediately assuming that he's guilty.
So I did a little research on this whole thing, okay? So this is a long-standing feud between McCoy and his ex-girlfriend. Evidently, he owns this house in Georgia. He's wanted her out. She won't leave. It's gone back and forth with no official action being taken, but there's a lawyer involved on his end to get her out. At times when she's been out, he's tried to put a new alarm in, take furniture out, do all these things. But on the flip side, like you said, without picking sides, to their defense, being her being the victim of all of this and her best friend who put out the Instagram tweet, which now, by the way, has been since taken down, but she still stands by it, saying legally the lawyer said take it down. But she came back and said, but I still stand by everything I said about his drug use, his abusiveness to animals and her, and people and everything like that. But in the process of doing all that, they said that McCoy, who's trying to keep his hands clean, was not there. It was not him. But an intruder broke in and hit her with a gun, pistol whipped her amongst other things, and then asked for specific pieces of jewelry, all of which he had given her when they were in a relationship.
Yeah.
So there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of speculation on both sides. There's a lot that still has to be ironed out. It's a bad look overall.
Totally.
But everybody's trying to, there's a lot of people out there trying to crucify McCoy because they said he's been a bad dude his whole career and things they know. This has nothing to do with all that. This is the one situation that has to be ironed out because there's just so much involved in it that breaks the law and is abusive and everything else. But let it take its course. Don't be the judge and jury that passes judgment today because, like you said, the Reuben Foster situation should have taught us all a lesson.
There's a difference between being a dirtbag and a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
Big difference.
And the other thing I thought about when you were saying all that, this is the James Harden case against Moses Malone's son.
Uh-huh.
Everybody wanted to incriminate James and James and James, but if James has friends that knows people, that talks to people, whatever. That's all the stuff that people are going to try and iron out, but it's all speculation.
By the way, I think somebody texted the wrong show. Because we just got a text that I know where this is. This guy doesn't know anything, LOL. Durant has no family. He has a mother, no wife or kids. So it's hard to listen to people when they're so uninformed and scream things on the radio like they're Durant. There must be another show talking about Durant right now.
Stephen A. Smith.
Is that what it is?
It's my guess.
It could
be. On our sister station, because Stephen A. has tendencies to talk basketball and,
wrong show.
And yell and scream.
Wrong show, pal. Go text Stephen A. Don't text us. Okay.
Chandler Parsons? You want to talk? Okay.
Who is this? Is this Tim McGraw?
It is.
Live like you were dying. I'm kind of taking it. I am upset that you took the night shift.
I tried to give a whole different genres for people, but not a subject that I really like.
I'm trying to find. I think I'm trying to find some surprises in mine.
Shocker.
No? Okay.
Nick is too.
Nick's just trying to
resend my list. Though. One of them is like 2010.
Oh, you see what he did, by the way?
Which one?
Nick, to make sure that he's official, but it's not complete, submitted four songs to show that
you had eight songs. I submitted eight songs.
Oh, yeah. I just see it. The header says my first four songs.
No, I have another one that I sent out that has all eight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it now. All right.
Stupid list.
Nick's in.
It's an amazing list.
Which one is it? Is it CeeLo?
CeeLo, yeah. Yeah. Nice, I think that would have been a great song.
That is a good song. It's a nice try, though.
It's Ken Giles' theme song.
I swear, if you take one of these that I have on my list right now because you
screwed
up. I
only have one left.
Okay.
I'll steal. Which one? I'll steal something. What are you going to do?
Don't worry about it.
I can tell which ones. I can tell you which ones don't touch. Leave them alone. Leave them right there firmly planted on your list, sir. As Taylor would say, don't touch. No touch. All right. We'll be back with more. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Since you've been away, I've been down and alone.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, Joel, on a Way Back Wednesday. Songs you'd play at your funeral, and obviously we've changed it up a little bit because we were running out of material, so it's now songs pre-2008.
And I think it updates the catalog, so mm-hmm. more than anything.
I don't agree with you much, but I agree with you there.
Yeah, and it gives a little fresher, hipper feel to Way Back Wednesday.
For the millennials.
Yes.
Of course.
Holly said, what does the story teach us? Bad tippers get a bad rep. Is he known? What does that mean? Was Shady a bad tipper?
I don't know if it's that or Giles.
No.
I don't think bad tippers get a bad rep.
Well, that's because you're a bad tipper.
Oh, I don't tippers.
Think
bad,
I don't think
tempers.
They get a bad rep.
No.
Is Shady a bad tipper?
I don't know.
I must have missed something there.
I'll look it up. I'll see.
Is he no tipping Pippin?
Was that his nickname?
That was Scottie Pippen's off-the-cuff nickname.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. That's right. LaShawn McCoy left a 20-cent tip as a statement. You remember that? You can't disrespect somebody and expect them to tip you.
It was a big bill?
Yeah. It was $61.56, and he left a 20-cent tip.
Okay. If you're trying to tie that into... okay.
Yeah, that's I forgot about that.
It's a bit of a stretch.
You ever done that? You ever not tipped or like tipped a penny or like something like that?
I've tipped bad, but never not tipped.
I would agree with that.
I know we had the discussion not too long ago about tipping and when and how and all that. And I got infuriated the other day because I went to go get cookies for Nora for her birthday from the cookie company. Because mm-hmm. they built, like, I always thought the Great American Cookie Company only had stores at the mall. Like, I didn't think that place could exist outside of a mall.
I agree with you.
Well, there's a store in a Kroger shopping center by my house. And, of course, Nora discovered that. So now I have to make cookie runs every once in a while. And I decided I would get her something for her birthday. So I'm there, and the chick... And here's the other thing. So she gets the three cookies that I get for Nora, puts them in the little bag, and she gives me my total, and I swipe the card, and she goes, okay, it's going to ask you if you want to leave a tip. Do you want to leave a tip?
Oh, no.
Look, I can read. I don't need you to tell me.
That means she wants to make you feel bad.
Exactly. I don't need you to ask me. So I was like, no, I don't want to leave a tip. And I was just like, if you're going to be that way with me, then I'm going to be that way. Why would I tip you? Look, it's your job. When you filled out the application at the Great American Cookie Company, you were signing up for a job to do two things. Make cookies and then hand said cookies to people and take their money for them. So three jobs. Why am I tipping you for that? I was just like, no.
I should have answered the question more accurately. No, I won't tip if it's a takeout. But yeah.
Now, there's where I was going to go. We've brought this up kind of in passing a few times. But I always wonder, because I've heard people on the Today Show, and I mean, Al Roker and the people that are making like millions and trillions of dollars, they want to leave like 15-20% on a takeout order. Where are you on takeout food when you pick up takeout?
Didn't we talk about this?
We talked about it a little bit, but I'm like...
We did talk about this, and that's... I view your situation as a takeout situation.
Yeah, you're taking out cookies, right?
I
know.
Like, I went, no, because I didn't, like, call ahead or do a to-go order.
And you're a guy that you might tip out the takeout person, and I won't.
Like, when I was on the road, I went to Chili's and got some food, and the dude was... It was a special order, because I was like, you know, I'm trying to do this keto diet. I only want this. I only want that. And it was a kind of a very specific order, but I still tip 10% when I go and get takeout food from a restaurant. Because here's the difference. Those folks are usually waiters and waitresses, and they make $2.13 an hour plus tips. The Great American Cookie Company, you might only be getting minimum wage, but it's still more than a waiter or waitress at a restaurant, and you're the one that went and signed up for that job, not me. So if that's not enough money, then I don't know what to tell you. But I'm not tipping at Starbucks. I'm not tipping at the cookie company. But if I go to a restaurant where they make $2.13 an hour or whatever the new wage is for servers, I guess I should say, not waiters or waitresses, I'll tip. But it's usually 10% on a to-go order.
My thing is because at Loopy Tortillas out in Sugar Land, the person that takes your order is also the person that's responsible for making sure it's right, putting it all in the bag. They have to do a little extra for it. So it's like being a server. So I always tip them because of that. But I'm with you, like Starbucks, I tip them because they're good people. They know my order. They see me coming. They're making it. So I take care of those people. But I was just curious on the to-go orders, where you're at with it, because sometimes it's just like, if it's just 10%. Like simple, like a pizza, do you tip on, if you ordered a takeout pizza, would you tip on that?
Hell
no.
No.
Okay.
No, like I'll get like Domino's and then I'll go and pick up the pizza at the Domino's. No, I don't tip.
Okay.
I tip the driver.
I can save you a headache and some money. Just 0% on anything that's no one serving you.
That I had to go get?
No. Yeah, Great American Cookie, Chili's Takeout, don't leave a dime.
That's not nice.
No, I think that's the appropriate approach.
No, that's the cheap approach.
No, it's not.
I don't mind giving 10%.
Because I'm giving you 20% if you're serving me.
But I don't mind doing that. They're still serving you. They're just not refilling your drinks and stuff. Oh, sure they are. They're going and getting your food and giving it to you to go.
I'm just trying to save you some money.
All right. I don't know. I feel bad if I don't. But I hate that line. That tip line when you're checking out is always so like, it's like a neon sign. Hey, look at me. I'm a cheap ass. I didn't put a dollar in there, anything.
Where?
Anywhere. Like when you go, every place you go now, there's a tip line, it seems like, on the receipt.
Oh, the tip line. There's also the big see-through fishbowl. Full it with the tip jar that they make sure is very, very visible at checkout and when you pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. So a couple of texts to catch up on. Buddy Munger said, Joel, can you do a whole segment as Trey?
I think that might be excessive.
Do all the suspects a favor and do a segment as Trey. Yeah, I think a segment will be a little much, buddy. Yeah. But I don't mind his Trey impression.
Oasis. I was looking at your guys' list, and no one has Oasis. And Oasis at a funeral would bring a tear to my eye. Oasis.
Is that a song they sing? A tear to my eye?
No, Champagne Supernova would be great. I think that, yeah. Well, maybe not.
Yeah,
okay.
He sounds exactly like Pauly Shore.
That's what I was going to say.
And Trey and him. Yeah. In his impression of
I could hear some Pauly Shore
buddy,
there.
I know. I'm the Weasel.
Somebody said, I know McCann brings leadership, but why does it always seem that the overpaid veteran batting 200 is the good clubhouse guy?
Don't sleep on what he does behind the dish with the pitching staff.
Nick's got to have Life Goes On by Tupac on his list.
I was going to do Dear Mama, but I'll take that one.
Okay.
God, just pandering. Anything that you throw at me, I'll take.
I'll save some of these because they're going to be they're going to require more than 30 seconds to discuss. So we'll do some more on the other side. I'll get to more of your text.
Cool. There you go.
Promise.
Hour number one in the books. That means my list is
complete.
It's your
Wednesday list.
What?
Submit it, Barry.
I'm working on it. I've got 5 songs. You ever heard of Pungent Stench? It's a group I have. I decided I was just going to find some death metal.
Oh, that's the group?
Yeah, random death metal at the funeral. I just want everyone to be sitting there all sad and then just be like, I hate your face! And be like, what is going on right now? Just be like, yeah.
Pungent Stench. Pungent Stench. Third hour coming up.
The song is called Been Caught Buttering. This is. I just Googled death metal, found Pungent Stench, better caught buttering, and that'll be on my list. So
there's
you have
Off
that
the Rails and there's Way Back Wednesday. Back with hour number two. Stay tuned. Who knows who could be on the list? It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.